Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Probably Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday. I'm having trouble keeping track of the days during these current days of isolation. I live in San Diego. I can usually tell what day of the week it is just by the commute. The commute is different every single day, but is that not the case anymore? There's nobody on the road, but there's not as many people on the road. So I don't know. It's probably Wednesday, but I can tell you this. We've got a great program for you, really good program for you. Second hour, Carlo is going to be here, Carlo Broussard, and we're going to talk about the papacy. We're going to talk about the biblical roots of the papacy. If you have questions about that, whether you're Protestant, Christian, Catholic, Christian, Orthodox Christian, or non-Christian, you're welcome to call the second hour. The first hour, we offer one of just the finest speakers in the Catholic world right now, a person of extraordinary talents, Jason Evert. Jason is the founder of Chastity.com, the Chastity Project, the author of a whole bunch of stuff, including... Well, let me think now. The Theology for the Body, of the Body for Teens, How to Find Your Soulmate Without Losing Your Soul. I think probably most renowned as a speaker. People just love hearing him talk. I do, and I think you will too. And we're going to talk about chastity today. So if you have questions in the area of chastity, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Jason Evert, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, it's good to be on, and you missed the most important part of the bio, that I got to work there at Catholic Answers for 14 years.
Oh, you're right. I did miss the most important part. I apologize. I kind of just slipped over that. Right? Yeah, that's a key thing.
Yeah, that was quite a blessing.
I'll tell you what, I don't want to be a bearer of bad news to start things out, but I keep hearing these news reports about how every business in the world is suffering except the pornography business right now. And you kind of understand that because it seems like a kind of business that's geared towards isolation, that's geared toward loneliness. And that's what the world is experiencing right now. But what do you make of that?
Yeah, one of the biggest global porn providers put out their statistics nation by nation and showed what happened in Italy after the quarantines are put into effect, and the pornography rates of men as well as women just skyrocketed. And I think, you know, obviously that's the fruit of isolation, but it's more than that, because a lot of times I think temptation feels strongest when we're in a period of desolation, which means you're bored, you're lonely, you're angry, you're stressed out, you're tired. And all of that kind of applies to life in quarantine, right? I mean, just a lack of community, a lot of stress going on in your life financially, family stuff. And so a lot of people turn, okay, I need some consolation. I'm in desolation. And porn is that false consolation that distracts you almost like a drug from these things. But unfortunately, it's a false consolation rather than a true one. And so the beauty of the church's teaching on sexuality is it teaches you, okay, you know, sexual desires are a good, beautiful thing, you know, but they're not a coping mechanism. You know, this is not something that just indulging in is going to bring you joy, nor is repression the answer. We have to learn how to integrate that. And that's what chastity offers.
There's also the thing of for us Catholics, I feel like it might, in a certain way, make things worse of any kind of sinful behavior, any kind of self-centered, selfish behavior. We tend to be a kind of people who look forward to going to confession. And I wonder if when it's not available, we're more vulnerable because we're like, I can't get the confession. You know, like, it's so in a certain sense, we see confession as the moment where, okay, everything got cleaned up again and pop, I brush myself off and start over. And it's not available to us at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a unique time because, I mean, not only does the sacrament of reconciliation restore you to sanctifying grace if you've lost that through mortal sin, it also gives you actual graces to avoid those sins in the future. And so, you know, for me, I've been going to daily Mass since I was in high school. Yeah. And, you know, now to go weeks and weeks and weeks without it, I mean, you feel the effects and you've got to create new kind of holy habits of like, okay, I'm not tapping into the source of grace through my usual means. So I need to find a different way, you know, whether it's spiritual communions, rosaries of the family, carving out some time to sit down, sit still, read the scriptures, or, you know, thankfully the church closest to our house is open during the daytime.
Oh,
they're not
beautiful.
Doing masses and things, but right. You can get in there and there's usually one or two people on opposite ends of the church sitting there in quiet. And so we've got to find new ways to seek out those graces because His grace is always available.
That's a really good point because I think in the virtue of chastity, probably like all virtues, habit is a big part of what sustains us. And I am finding like just you mentioning that like we, you know, daily Mass in the morning is in a certain sense so routine that when you get out of it, it's hard to you like actually have to make a new habit. It's not just that you're missing out on that, but you have to actually come up with a new habit that's going to keep you spiritually kind of focused each morning. And so all of our habits have been upended at the moment.
Yeah, but I think there's going to be so much good that comes out of this because we're going to create some new holy habits that we're not going to want to discontinue once we go back to our routine. Like, you know, our family, you know, we're blessed with 8 kids, but on a typical school night, trying to squeeze in a full rosary with homework and bath times, you know, 2 months ago, we made excuses for that. Like, hey, let's just do a decade. Things are a little crazy. You know, but now with everybody at home literally all day, there's no excuse not to do a family rosary every day. And so we've gotten into this habit. And now we're, you know, a month, month and a half in of nightly rosaries with the family. And this is something we don't want to stop. And so I think it's important during this time of quarantine. God's trying to tell us something, and it's different for every person. But we got to listen because there's something He's speaking to us.
888-318-7884 is the number. We're talking about the virtue of chastity. If you have questions about chastity, whether it's about what we mean or you would like to know how we understand the virtue of chastity itself, or a practical question about living the virtue of chastity in your state of life, 888-318-7884. So give me something practical, Jason, if you could, about the person who is struggling with chastity during this time of isolation and loneliness?
Well, I mean, you got to look at it. You know, guys aren't the only ones who struggle with this stuff. You know, many women struggle as well. And when it comes to the areas of pornography or whatever, many of them are made to feel like, well, I'm the only one struggling with this. And there's something wrong with me if I'm a girl and these are my issues. But, you know, lust is not the specific domain of the males. That this is a human issue, not a guy problem. And so when a girl thinks this is just a guy issue, it kind of drives her further into this isolation and cycle of shame. But you've got to realize, like, you're not alone in these struggles. But we've got to make sure we're not fighting this alone. We need accountability. We need to be talking to other people. And if you don't have a confession right now to go to, a spiritual director, you know, find some accountability. You could use something like Covenant Eyes, which is fantastic. That's a screen-based accountability filter that you can put on your phones and your computers so that you can share with other people, you know, what's going on your internet searches and on your phone. And, you know, it makes you think twice before clicking on this or that image if you know your accountability partner can see that. And I think whole families got to put this on, not just so you can spy on your kids, but, you know, I think parents need accountability. So when the kid's like, well, you want to put this on my phone? And you're like, oh, yeah, and we're going to put it on my phone too. So your little sister is going to see what dad's looking at. Dad can see what you're looking at. We're just going to hold each other accountable as a family to the principles of the gospel.
We're talking about chastity with Jason Everett, who has done such fine work helping us understand the theology of the body from the Catholic perspective, and the Catholic the really beautiful and liberating Catholic teaching about chastity. Your questions are welcome. 888-318-7884. So would you explain to me how that works, what you covenant eyes?
Yeah, essentially what it is, you install it on any screen in your house, whether it be an iPad or a Droid or a MacBook or PC or whatever, and what it'll do is block the pornographic content and then send you a report every day of the websites everybody's looking at. Hey, you know, there's nothing to worry about today, but here's the report. Or, hey, we saw some activity you might want to know about. Here it is. And so it's fantastic because the old forms of internet filters would just kind of look, you know, for bad websites that you're going to, but you know, now you can access pornography through all these different apps. You could get it through a text message, photograph, and Covenant Eyes will catch all of that stuff. And so it's a fantastic artificial intelligence, you know, program that they spent millions creating. And it's a blessing for the church. And, you know, as parents, we got to be aware that this is not a matter of if our kids are going to see porn. I'm sorry. It's a question of when they're going to see it.
Right.
So we've got to be vigilant with this stuff and talk to the kids about it beforehand, of explaining to them, hey, there's pictures online that aren't appropriate, that show parts of the body that should be covered with a bathing suit. And if you ever see these pictures, you know, I'm really sorry that that popped up, and I want you to come talk to mom and come talk to dad. Shut the computer, turn your eyes away, and come talk to us. And so we've got to kind of give them the strategies for how to deal with these images when the time comes, but in the meantime, put up these programs like Covenant Eyes to keep the family safe.
888-318-7884, the number. Jason Everett, our guest, and you can't go out and hear him speaking in the parish near you right now, but he does have a couple of ways that you can connect. Jason, you're launching a podcast.
Yeah, well, people have been telling me for years, oh, you got to do a podcast, you got to pack it. I'm like, you know, I'd love to, but I'm just so busy. I've got like 150 assemblies to give every year. There's just not the time. So God is like, oh, that's your excuse? Too many assemblies? Well, we can take care of that. Boom. All the assemblies are gone. Churches are closed. And so we took kind of like one of those magic tricks where they pull the tablecloth out and all the food goes with it. So so now that excuse is gone, and we've recorded the first three. We've uploaded them to iTunes, and they're going to be live a couple days from now. So the official launch hasn't happened, but that's going to be coming up. And the podcast is Love is Greater Than Lust, and we're going to be answering all the people's questions they have on chastity and bringing guests on. So we really love people to tune into that. And it should be live and on iTunes this time next week, and people can get info at the website chastity.com.
Again, 888-318-7884. If you have questions about raising chaste children, if you have questions about chastity within your married life, single life, vowed religious life, you're welcome to call. If you would like to know about, in today's world especially, I would say it's often the case that we don't even, it's not a matter of an unwillingness to be chaste. It's what does the church actually teach about chastity? And if you'd like, if your questions are not how to type questions, but what type questions, those are welcome as well. 888-318-7884. Right back with your questions for Jason Everett right after this.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Prayer is powerful because it's prayer. It's not powerful because it alters the universe in the way we want. God's a lot smarter than that. He says to pray because it has power. Now, whether it turns out the way we want is not an indicator of the particular power of prayer. It is powerful because it is.
The good news is Jesus loves you. Bad news, you got to live a chaste life. That's sometimes how we think about chastity. That is completely unfortunate. It's a completely unfortunate way to think about chastity. And our guest today, Jason Everett, has really done a very fine job of sharing the good news of the chaste life, helping people who are trapped in pornography and other forms of inchastity to discover the beauty of the calling to chastity, one that really virtually every culture in the whole history of the world until 1968 recognized, but which is most fully and completely taught and embraced in the Catholic Church. Jason's done a great job of that, and we are delighted to have him as a guest this hour. You're welcome to call with your questions, 888-318-7884. Jason, I'm glad you got the podcast coming out. I know you're also doing one of these online conferences, which did this start out as, oh, we're going to do a conference in person, and nope, we're going to have to do it online? Or have you decided this is just something that's needed in this time?
Yeah, no, it was more the result of like, hey, everybody's isolated. A lot of people struggling with pornography. You know, families have this time now to communicate with their kids, perhaps more than ever before. And all of our assemblies having been suspended, we're like, hey, let's keep the message going. And so we got together about 70 speakers that'll be doing a free online conference the weekend of May 22nd to 24th, whether you got high school kids, single young adults, your parents, married couple. It's going to be called the Catholic Love Life Conference. And it's just going to talk about how we can, you know, rekindle love in our marriages or help our kids discover God's plan for human love. And we'll be putting details out on all of that on the website, chastity.com, next week. Registration will probably open up this weekend or Tuesday. But again, it's free. Anybody can listen to all 70 talks free of charge.
You know, as you say that, I'm realizing, I want to go to callers, but I want to ask you to do this for us, if you would. You talk about God's plan for love, God's plan for our love life. We assume during this time of the COVID-19 that we have lots of folks listening who don't have a chance to listen otherwise. Could you kind of summarize for me what it is that the church teaches about sex? If I could summarize for you the assumption out there, the cultural assumption about the Catholic Church, it would be something like the Catholic Church believes that sex is for making babies, and anything other than that, everyone should just try to repress as much as they possibly can until they die and go to heaven. That would be the stereotyped view of what the Catholic Church teaches. What does the Catholic Church teach about sex and sexuality?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair summary of how people view the church's teachings on the subject. The church's teachings isn't so much an ought, like you ought to do this. It's more of an is. And what I mean by that is like this is God's calling for human sexuality. Isn't something we ought to do, it's something that we are. It's who we are as human beings. We're made in the image and likeness of God, and God is love. And all he's asking is to express authentic love in and through our bodies. And so when a person's body is expressing the sexual act, it's speaking that language, like, I'm completely yours. I give myself totally to you. And that's the language of marriage. And so when a husband and wife become one flesh, they renew their wedding vows in and through their bodies. And so the church is just asking us to be of sexual honesty, to tell the truth with our bodies. And this is not about repressing our desires or their subconscious and thinking the body is bad and evil and wicked and dirty and you better obey this stuff or you're going to get pregnant and die of an STD and go to hell. You know, this is not good news. The church's teachings on chastity are good news. In fact, St. John Paul II said that chastity is the sure way to happiness.
And we want you to be happy. Yeah, thank you for that, Jason. Let's start off with Maria in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Let me give out the number again, 888-318-7884. Maria, thank you so much for your call for our guest, Jason Everett. Your question, please.
Thank you.
Oh, Maria?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead with your question for Jason. You don't want to ask a question, Maria?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. I apologize.
No, that's okay. I think I was being unclear somehow. Go ahead.
I just want to know how I can reach my older son, my only son, He's old enough. He's an adult. He's 30. And I have made some erroneous mistakes in my life, and I'm very embarrassed, and I'm not proud of them, but I want to try to guide him in not making those mistakes as well. And, like, he has a girlfriend. She's very nice. I just don't agree with the sleepover kind of thing, and I'm just trying, I don't know how to approach that or how to talk to him about it. I have before, didn't go quite so well. But I don't know, just some direction in that.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts, Maria. One is, I think it's important for him to understand that when it comes to his relationship, you are not kind of a nemesis. You are not a thorn in his side or a nag. You are his ally in this. All you want for him is authentic love. You maybe think his girlfriend might be a good fit for him, a great gal, and you want to see them succeed and see their relationship flourish. And so if that's how you feel, that this could be a potentially good wife, you know, you want to express that to him and say, I just want to see you guys, you know, do better and better. And hey, here's a CD I found on just dating relationships, and I hope you like it. And that way it's not so much all coming from you. You could let somebody else do the dirty work, meaning bringing him the message of chastity and love. And, you know, if he doesn't seem open to it, be like, you could use that Catholic maternal guilt of, you know what? Mother's Day is in whatever, how many days from now. For my Mother's Day present, I don't want a gift card at Macy's. I just want you to listen to this one CD. Boom, that's it. Or here's a little booklet. I'd like you to read this. And that's my gift for Mother's Day. And who can resist that maternal Catholic guilt? Nobody. And so resources you could give him. If he's open to marriage, Christopher West has a great book called Good News About Sex and Marriage. That's a little bit more in depth at probably close to 200 pages. You might want to start with something as simple as a CD. We have two that might be right for him. One is called How to Date Your Soulmate, and the other one is called How to Save Your Marriage Before You Meet Your Spouse. Both of those are chastity.com. They're only like $3 or $5 each. You know, maybe give him one of those and see if he'd be open to just listening to one, so that way he can understand that all you're trying to do is strengthen his ability to give and receive love. You're not trying to break him up, you know, unless you think they need to be broken up. But, you know, don't be afraid to be bold and speak out of that, you know, certain intimacies and expressions of that should be reserved for marriage. And don't think that because you don't have a perfect past that you don't have a right to speak on this stuff. God gave you your authority, not because you've been perfect. He gave you your authority because you're a parent, and you can exercise that until the day you die. As long as your kid is your child, you have authority to speak on these things. And so you could say, hey, you know, mom didn't do everything right. And, you know, and I suffered the consequences for that. And I just hope something better for you than what I had to experience going through some of these decisions. So here you go. So you're coming from a place of humility, not knowing it all, but just wanting to succeed in his love life. So those are a couple techniques that'll help. And also just pray for him, fast for him and for her, and maybe give their names to a local convent of religious sisters and say, hey, here's my son and his girlfriend's name, first name. Could you please pray for them? You know, now you're tapping into the heavy hitters. Once you start asking some cloistered nuns to pray for them, you know, then you could see some serious fruit.
What do you think about all that, Marie?
I think it's great. I never thought about contacting a convent and ask them to pray for them. And she's a great person. She's very nice. And I think she could be a great potential wife for my son. I just want them to have respect for one another and something that I didn't have. And I just, like you said, I want the very best for both of them.
Yeah, one phrase you could say is like, I just want you guys to be able to fall in love for all the right reasons. You know, and that's, wow, you know, it sounds like she's really behind us. She really, so that way he understands you're not just going to, and make sure you're taking an interest, not just in the bad stuff. Make sure you take an interest in his whole life, his career, the good parts of the relationship, because if every time you guys have an in-depth conversation, it ends up getting into, you know, Catholic sexual ethics, he could begin pulling away from you. That's why you just want to make sure your approach is balanced and taking an interest in his entire life.
Maria, thank you for starting us off with that call. Jason Everett is our guest. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. Jason, you have a great clarity about raising children and about the things that we need to protect them from. It seems like there's just a new I don't know, a website or a service or something opening up every day, and it's hard to monitor everything. You suggested that Covenant Eyes program, but what's the kind of media policy in your house, or maybe if you don't want to share that, just a general media policy you might suggest, because it often seems like media is in fact the enemy of chastity. That's almost seems like that's the job it's taken on for itself.
Yeah, in many respects. I mean, it's a, so to speak, a digital continent that we need to go to evangelize. So, I mean, Catholic Answers Live is media content. We can use the media to counteract so much of this junk that's coming to them through different media. One thing that I found to be real helpful for our family is Covenant Eyes, another with this other group called Protect Young Eyes, came out with this little video series that's free. And so we watched it, and it was really helpful. And to get it, what you do is you just text the word SAFE, S-A-F-E, to the number 66866. So you just type in your phone, 66866, text the message, S-A-F-E, to that number, and they'll kick you back a text saying, hey, give us your email, we'll send you the videos. And so you just send the email in, and they're not going to bombard you with 4 years worth of spam. It's just like, I have like 5 or 7 days of videos. They're like 4 minutes long each. And it says, okay, today we're going to look at YouTube. Open up your YouTube, and you want to go into settings, slide it over to profile, to security, this, that. Because, look, we're busy parents. Like, a lot of us don't have the time to figure out, okay, how do I set up security settings on my kid's Samsung 1127L cell phone?
Right.
It's mind-boggling, right? And yeah. So this little thing, one video a day, 4 minutes per video, and by the end of the day, it'll lock it down. Because, face it, a lot of us are thinking, hey, I shut the front door. A burglar's not going to come in. Well, look, we live in a bad neighborhood in a sense. And you shut the front door, they could come in through the back.
Right.
Shut the back door, they could come in through a window, through the chimney, through the basement. And so we need to make sure all these different portals of entry for this virus of lust need to be sealed off as much as they can. And stuff like Covenant Eyes, Protect Young Eyes, they do a good job at helping us with that.
Jason Evert is our guest. Chastity.com is the website you can go to find out all about Jason's work, chastity.com. And if you'd like to ask a question about chastity, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. More of your questions for Jason Evert right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Can we really say the Bible is inerrant when it seems to contain so many internal contradictions about allegedly factual events? What are the two basic interpretation problems we encounter when we read the Bible? How can we deal with difficulties arising from translation differences, copyist errors, and varying literary genres? 20 Answers Bible Difficulties gives you the tools to recognize and reconcile common kinds of Bible difficulties and addresses the specific ones that most often embolden skeptics and dismay believers. 20 Answers Bible Difficulties is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting series from Catholic Answers Press.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Do you sometimes feel like you're not a very good person?
But God has a purpose only you can fulfill.
Let's discuss your purpose tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Today's second hour, Carlo Broussard's going to be here. We're going to do the Bible blueprint for the papacy. Yes, it's in there. And whether you're Catholic or and you believe what Catholics believe about the papacy, or you've got other beliefs on the papacy, you're welcome to call and participate next hour with Carlo. This hour, we have Jason Evert from the Chastity Project, which he founded. And you can find him at chastity.com. And we're talking just about that very subject, in part motivated by the fact that chastity is... It's a virtue that requires engagement, and we are disengaged from one another in many ways. We're lonely, we're isolated, and that makes us vulnerable. And most of us, it makes us vulnerable to sins against chastity of one kind or another. And then you start the old Netflix or Prime Video or whatnot, and you're clicking around. And then, I always say, Jason, you know, it's like a guy, like, you know, you go on ESPN because you want to see what the Celtics score is. And then in the little column next to it, it's got that little thing that says the 10 hottest cheerleaders in the NFL. You're just one click away from starting to get yourself into trouble. But you do feel that you should probably know who are the 10 hottest cheerleaders in the NFL. So there's a certain way that the internet makes it so easy to be just slipping and sliding. And I think that's where a lot of people are, because our life is being lived on the internet during these days of the COVID virus.
Yeah. And you've got to be vigilant. Like I said, I mean, it's coming in from everywhere. ESPN, you go to some golf website, or you just try to look up some, you know, camping gear you want to buy, and
right,
pop-up ads here, there, all, you know, all kinds of stuff. And even in your social media feeds, the ads, you know. And so what I would say is, like, look at what you're doing on social media. Let's say just Facebook, you know, because most people listen here more into Facebook, you know, as adults. Like, you know, are there people that are popping up in your feed that you don't need to see there? You know, it's really easy to slide over and just click, like, hey, stay friends, but don't see posts from that person anymore. And that way you don't need to see those images or those memories or those thoughts of, like, hey, look at that person. Like, we just need to scrub this stuff down, because, I mean, we make it, most temptations, I think we cause ourselves, honestly. I think 95% of temptations we bring on by what we look at and
right,
who we hang out with. And now that we have nobody to hang out with, it's pretty much just coming from what we're looking at, what we're putting in through our senses, meaning our eyes and our ears. And so we need to have custody over those two senses. And so just to be a little extra cautious during this time, what's going on to my eyes, what's going into my ears, because St. Paul said, make no provisions for the desires of the flesh. You know, and a provision is kind of like a storehouse of stuff that you've, storehouse of materials you can always tap into. But we need to not make provisions, meaning you don't need to store up those images, those thoughts, those memories, those words. And we need to therefore have custody over our senses in that way.
And the consequence of chastity, though, I mean, the church says that the flower of chastity is friendship, that we become able to be better friends with other human beings, maybe because we're not seeing them as objects.
Yeah. You know, and the purpose of friendship is, I think it was Francis de Sales said, it's the mutual perfection of the other. And so who is it? You know, Philip Rivers, football player, he always says that friends are like elevators. They either take you up or they take you down. And
yeah,
so it's just a matter of which type of friendship you're going to step onto and where that's going to lead you. And nobody can pick those friends for you. Because I know, like, when you're hanging out with people that maybe aren't trying to pursue a virtuous life, you think you're pretty good. You're like, I'm doing really well compared to them. But then you start to, you know, hang out with people that are really pursuing God, and you're like, man, I'm a little rough around the edges. I could definitely be praying a little more than I am.
Yeah.
And so it helps so much to just be around the right people.
Up next is Jordan right here in San Diego, listening on 93.7 FM. Jordan, your question for Jason Evert.
Yeah, so thanks, guys. So I'm 24, and I had just moved out to San Diego. And I've been trying to live a life of chastity and even self-abstinence, like where I just try to, you know, abstain from indulging in the senses of flesh. And my question is, what are some skills or tools or things that I can use to help channel that energy? Because it feels like it's a battle every single day, and I'm trying not to repress it. I'm just trying to channel it in a healthier outlet. And because of that, I feel like loneliness seems to be springing up, a sense of wanting companionship, and I'm just not at a place in my life where I can have a relationship right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, great question. I mean, I was very much in your boat. I moved to San Diego just after my graduate studies. I was probably 22, 23 years old. Got there, hardly knew anybody. And I'm like, okay, where am I going to get connected? You know, because it's lonely when you're just young adult, maybe away from family, getting your career going. And I thought, okay, well, where are the good people going to go? So first place I went to Mary Star of the Sea there in La Jolla because I heard they had a Life Teen program. And I got involved in being like a core member in their Life Teen group. And, you know, I ended up blooming in these beautiful friendships with these guys and girls that were there as other core members that had the same values I did and wanted to evangelize. And, you know, a couple of those guys ended up being groomsmen in my wedding. Then I thought, okay, well, that's where, you know, some of them are. Then I ended up going down to St. Bridget's and Pacific Beach that at the time had a vibrant young adult community, tapped into there. Our Lady of the Rosary downtown had Father Louis and a bunch of good stuff happening there with the Goretti group at the time. And, you know, so there's good pockets that you're going to want to tap into there in San Diego of faithfulness and orthodoxy. And, you know, you could contact the diocesan young adult office and say, hey, well, what kind of stuff do you guys have on the schedule? Do you have like a theology on tap that I could go to? So much of this is realizing that you might not be in a space right now in your life to pursue romantic relationships, but nonetheless, you're made for relationship, whether it be friendship, community. And you'll find that when you have that connection, it's so much easier to avoid the false consolations that are going to be knocking on your door at a daily basis. And so I would say try to be really proactive and going out and finding where are these solid young adults in San Diego, because there's a bunch of them. I think probably half of them work at Catholic Answers, you know, so you got a good bunch there. And you could even like call up the office. I heard there's some young adults that are Catholic Answers. You know, maybe they've got some information on where the young adult community is here in San Diego. And get locked into that community, and it's going to be a lot easier to grow in virtue.
Jordan, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's really helpful. That's something that I've had a change in my life as I go forward, is creating a new network of people that support and understand this new lifestyle. So that's awesome.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jason was talking about the young people here at Catholic Answers, and there are extraordinary young people. And Emily, if you ever do decide you want to get connected to young adult groups, Emily knows every young adult Catholic within 100 miles. She's just the most amazing organizer. So just ask for Emily when you call here and say, hey, where can I connect with a young adult group? She will get you connected. Jason, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, and sometimes you have to create certain networks. I remember coming to one of the churches and saying, hey, do you guys have any programs for the young adults? And they're like, yeah, we got softball on this weekend. We got salsa dancing next weekend. We've got this. And I said, like, do you guys have anything spiritual? Like, I don't know, adoration, rosary, stuff like that. And they're like, no. And they're like, why don't you do it? I'm like, all right. So I said, okay, I'm going to start a Bible study. I'm like, well, how am I going to get everybody to show up in a Bible study, like two blocks from the beach? I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a 4-week Bible study on relationships, and then all the girls are going to show up. And if all the girls show up, then all the guys are going to start showing up. And so that's what I did. And sure enough, within a couple months, we had 70 people coming to a weekly Bible study, you know, three blocks from the beach. And so sometimes you have to create what doesn't exist in order to have the community that you deserve.
Jordan, thanks very much for the call. Our number here is 888-318-7884. We're talking chastity with Jason Evert. You can find out all about Jason's work at chastity.com. 888-318-7884, the number here. Your calls are welcome. I have to take a quick break, however. Before I let you go, I want to let you know that our store-wide spring sale is still going on. All of our materials are on sale, 25% off, and in some cases more, including all of our School of Apologetics courses, which are $50 off right now. So visit shop.catholic.com right now, shop.catholic.com, and you can get all sorts of resources there. A good amount of those resources are available in e-format, whether it's the e-version of the magazine or e-books or MP3 downloads. So you can have it right away. You don't even have to wait for delivery. Shop.catholic.com, sale right now, 10 to 25% off.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I've got a few things here and there that I've learned along the way. I'm always studying history, and I love studying history. So I try to bring in some of the historical perspective, especially at a time in our history when people don't know much history anymore.
Open Line with Father Mitch Pacwa, tonight, 10 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Jason Evert is our guest, and we are talking chastity this hour. The Catholic understanding of chastity is meant to be a liberation to you, and to me, to all of us, so that we can live a life of love and joy. It is not meant to be just merely don't do this, don't do that. Jason has been one of the great leaders in sharing that message in recent years, recent decades, all around the world. You can find his work at chastity.com. On the line right now for Jason is Fong, calling from British Columbia, Canada. Fong, do we have you there with us? Hello, Fong. It sounds like Fong is on a submarine that is currently diving. That's what that sounded like to me. I'm not sure what that was, but it sounded like just after the guy yells, dive, dive, dive. Well, I'm coming back to you, Fong. Don't worry. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-31-TRUTH. In the chastity field, I sometimes feel like the Catholic witness about chastity is complicated by the fact that young people are all tied up in knots about gender issues, and so they see the Catholic Church as somehow the problem, not the solution.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because, I mean, human sexuality is not so much what we do with our bodies. Sexuality is who we are as male and female. And I think, you know, the media machine has done a great job of painting the Catholic Church as this enemy of the freedom of the expression of our identity. And the church is telling us that we're not free to become who we want to be. When in reality, the people proposing this whole gender theory, all they're really doing is giving people permission to reject their true identity, of telling people your body is essentially meaningless, that if you really want to know who you are, don't look at your body, look at your feelings, because who you are is what you feel, and if your body doesn't align with that, then the problem is not your feelings, the problem is the body. And so such a mentality is actually collaborating with a mental illness instead of treating it. And so telling these young people, well, if this is who you think you are, I mean, because there's no test of, you know, is this person trans, other than how a person feels. There's no scientific experiment that this person is, that person's not. But the fact is, God created us male and female, and that is his gift to us. This is not something that we declare or we discover or we define on our own. And so I think it's really important that we walk with love with people who are experiencing gender dysphoria, but we not water down the truth and saying, well, hey, if that's who you think you are, then that's who you are. That would be like having someone who might be struggling with an eating disorder and she thinks, well, you know, I'm fat. And you think, hey, I mean, she's 85 pounds and skinny as can be, but if she thinks she's fat, then maybe we should give her some diet pills. No, that's not, that's an abuse, that's a malpractice to treat someone like that. You have to walk with them in love and in compassion so that they can understand that their body's good. And I think where a lot of this is coming from is a lot of these individuals feel like they don't quite fit the cultural stereotypes of what a man should be and a woman should be. And if you don't fit those stereotypes perfectly, you may begin to think that your sexuality as male and female is the problem because, like, well, I don't feel as manly as this person, but, you know I'm a man, not because I feel so manly about myself, because I don't fit the gender stereotype of a man perfectly. I mean, most men, they're like, into, you know, drinking beer and shooting deer and watching NASCAR. And, like, I'm not into that. I don't watch NASCAR at all. I get nothing out of that. I actually like wine better than beer. I don't hunt. I actually threw a rock at a bird once when I was a kid, and I still feel bad about that because I hit the thing. You know, like, I don't fit the stereotypes, but that's okay because my masculinity isn't defined by how well I conform to the cultural standards of manhood. My masculinity is revealed in the fact that God gave me the body of a man. And so we need to help these people walk with them in love, to realize that everything they're being told by the culture about gender theory and a whole spectrum of countless genders and Facebook having 71 genders, this is not the truth.
I apologize to Fong. He wanted me to read the question to you. He wasn't ready to go on the air with his question. So let me just read his question. If you marry someone and later on they decide they do not want to have sex with you anymore, can you file for an annulment?
Well, it depends on how later on that was. If later on means later on that evening and you never consummated that union to begin with, then yes, you have the marriage is not indissoluble if it has not been consummated. However, if the marriage has been consummated and then 20 years down the road, they decide, well, I'm not interested in anymore. The proper route at that time would be to seek marital counseling, because just because a big bump in the road happens decades later doesn't mean that a valid bond was not formed. You know, now maybe though, there is the possibility that, you know, let's say this issue came up relatively early in the marriage and maybe it could reveal certain things psychologically that would have impaired your partner's ability to give themselves to you in a truly spousal way. And that's where the church could step in and investigate, you know, was this a validly sacramentally contracted marriage? On your wedding day, did you go through that ceremony and leave the church as two single people that just went through a rite? Or did a valid sacramental marriage take place there? And then now later, different issues came up. Because very often, what marriage will do, because one of the purposes of marriage is the sanctification of the spouses, which means your faults will rise to the surface like oil and water. And also our wounds from the past will come up to the surface, where these things can be sanctified and healed. And sometimes when these wounds come up and a spouse becomes distant, it's a time not to retreat necessarily, but to dive in and to pursue marital counseling. A website that I'd recommend is just CatholicTherapists.com. And there you can type in your zip code and hopefully find a good counselor. Because in the end, the marriages that last are the marriages where the couple just shows up and fight for the marriage when things get really tough. And I know spouses that have been in marriages that have been abstinent for long seasons of time because of different issues, you know, but our call, I think, is to stay on that cross and to work with our spouses and healing that might need to take place, and to bring this to a priest, get a good spiritual director, get a good counselor, and I think they can help you walk through the process, a question of annulment or working through this in counseling.
Fong, thank you very much for the call. Our number, 888-318-7884. We're talking chastity with Jason Evert today. Jason, you know, the Catholic, I feel like I got this very clearly when I was a kid, and I don't know if people get it clearly anymore. I mean, even Catholics, I'm not sure that they get it clearly, that that sex is reserved to those who are married. And that there's a reason for that, or there's probably many reasons for that, both spiritual and physical, and both common sense and profound reasons why sex is reserved for marriage. But I feel like sometimes we have to repeat that, even the basics about chastity, because people are sometimes surprised.
Yeah. And I think a simple way to formulate it is that simply that love, marriage, sex, and babies go together and in that order. When we start flopping around the order of those four things, love, marriage, sex, and babies, civilizations begin to absolutely crumble. When we have the love, then we have the sex and the babies, and then maybe we have the marriage, and we start moving these things around, it causes societal chaos. And it's not the church wanting to rob us of sexual joy. I mean, study after study show the most sexually satisfied people on the face of the earth are married couples who go to church regularly. Now, that does not mean that if you just dot all your I's and cross your T's and you do everything the church's way that you won't have any difficulties in this area of your life. Sometimes those things do exist. But statistically, the least satisfied. Sexually, people in the world, study after study, so are the single people living in this hookup culture or whatever. There's a big study done by the Kinsey Institute studying college students and young adults, and they asked them, how do you feel after a hookup? And 2% of people felt wanted. 5% said they felt proud. I mean, 2% felt desirable or wanted. And so it's just the way the devil works. He promises you everything, and then he gives you nothing.
I guess that's the case, isn't it? That we have an idea about sexuality that proves itself false virtually in every case, I suppose, is the way to say it. Like, it just constantly proves itself false, and yet we don't accept the evidence that, as you said, love, marriage, sex, and babies go together.
Yeah, and this is, see, the evidence is global on this, because people say, well, you know, you need to promote contraception so that way, you know, you won't have AIDS spreading in Africa. Look at Africa. The country with the steepest decline in HIV rates in history was Uganda, that promoted abstinence and fidelity before condom use. That was their main emphasis, was abstinence and what they called zero grazing or fidelity, and saw a dramatic decline in HIV. In fact, if you look at all the countries in Africa, the higher the proportion of Catholics in any given country there, the lower the rate of HIV. And so whatever the church is teaching over there, it appears to be working, and that's straight out of the British Medical Journal.
A lot of calls coming in just as we are concluding the hour, so I'm just going to go quick to folks. Hi, I don't know your name. Would you give us your first name and your question for Jason? Hello? All right.
Yes, hi. This is Scott.
Hi, Scott. Your question real quick for Jason.
Okay. I didn't have to get the call screener. Just a question. Are there any limits to, and this isn't a chastity question necessarily, but are there any limits to sexuality between a husband and wife? And intimate acts, I guess.
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm going to let Jason answer it. It's actually a very clear question, too. Jason, what's your take on that?
Yes, there are limits. I mean, some people think, well, once you get married, everything goes. You know, you have to worry about any self-restraint. A couple things need to be considered. One is that the act between a husband and wife should always reach its culmination in the natural manner, as in the manner in which a child would come forth from that act. And so it doesn't mean that, hey, the church does not step in and say, now you can't touch this or kiss that. Like, the nitty gritty is, the church doesn't really give a laundry list of do's and don'ts, but it should be keeping in with the dignity of the human person and reverence for that act. And so if one spouse is making the other spouse to feel like, well, you're some prude and you're not fair because you're not doing these things, well, if the other spouse finds those things degrading or whatever, then the other spouse should have reverence for that person. And so things such as pornography use or contraception, these would be out of the question, because if their wedding vows are being renewed through the sexual act of I'm completely yours, then these acts are saying the opposite. Bringing pornography into the bedroom while telling your wife you're totally hers while you're looking at these other women, it's a lie in the language of the body. And so a good book, if you wanted to look for more details on this, you know, because I know sometimes there's some younger listeners tuning in, is Christopher West's book called Good News About Sex and Marriage, where he talks about some of these particulars and like, well, you know, what's off limits, on limits, you know, he gets into that a little bit. But I think, you know, we want to make sure these acts are culminating in the natural manner, and then also it's in keeping with reverence and the dignity of the other spouse.
We did a Catholic Answers focus on this in which we talked with Father Hugh Barber, and if you want really graphic talk, apparently, about sex, you ask a priest, because he's heard the confessions, and he did not hold back. So if you'd like to hear that, just go to CatholicAnswersFocus.com and search for Father Hugh Barber's on sex within marriage. We did one on sex within marriage. But I really appreciate the point that you made, and it's a point that Father made as well, although I must say he was much more graphic than you were, Jason, that there's a respect for the dignity of your spouse is an absolute basic of marriage.
Yeah, yeah. And you have to really make them feel that you're looking at them with reverence and love. St. John Paul II talked about the woman experiencing all the peace of the interior gaze, meaning she is filled with peace knowing that the way her spouse just so much as looks at her. And so we need to make sure. Now, this does not mean that it's devoid of passion and sexual excitement. That's part of marriage, and it should be there. But I think a woman can intuit deeply when she's being looked at with devotion and love as a respected and beloved companion, or whether she's being looked at as an outlet for our lust.
Indeed. I'm going to give you Lee's question real quick. Dating a divorced woman, what's the best way to navigate that? Lee, I didn't have time to get you on the air, but how do you answer someone who's dating someone who's been divorced?
Well, it's fine to date someone who is divorced, but the question is, okay, has that previous marriage been annulled? And if that previous marriage has not been annulled, then you would need to treat her as if she's currently in a marriage. Because until the church has declared, like, no, that was not a valid sacramental marriage, then you want to proceed cautiously, not only with your body, but also with your heart as well. So grow in that friendship and keep it chaste, and then try to pursue and see if the annulment's going to happen.
Jason Everett has been our guest this hour. You can find him at the Chastity Project. Just search chastity.com, and you're going to want to look for the new podcast coming out from Jason Everett. And in May, tell me the dates in May for the conference.
May 22nd to 24th, it'll be the Catholic Love Life Conference, and we'll have information come up real soon at chastity.com.
The Catholic Love Life Conference will be completely online, so you can maintain all the quarantine you need to maintain and still connect with it. Check for back on chastity.com for more information. Up next, Carlo coming in. We're going to talk about the Bible blueprint for the papacy right after this.
Teachings for an Unbelievable World is a newly discovered work written by St. John Paul II, then Archbishop Karol Wojtyła of Krakow, in the years just after Vatican II. This is the first English language publication of this important work. In this hardcover book that Scott Hahn calls one of the greatest hidden treasures unearthed in our time, 13 brief homilies provide compelling teaching for Catholics in today's post-Christian world and give fresh insights into JP2's pontificate. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code JP2Teachings, that's JPIIteachings, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.